New heading, The Personality and Character Ethics. At the same time I was doing this study of perception, I was also deeply immersed in an in-depth study of the success literature published in the United States since 1776. I was reading or scanning literally hundreds of books, articles, and essays in fields such as self-improvement, popular psychology, and self-help. At my fingertips was the sum and substance of what a free and democratic people considered to be the keys to successful living. As my study took me back through 200 years of writing about success, I noticed a startling pattern emerging in the content of the literature. And because of our own pain and because of similar pain I had seen in the lives and relationships of many people that I'd worked with through the years, I began to feel more and more that much of the success literature of the past 50 years was superficial. It was filled with social image consciousness, with techniques, quick fixes, image building, with social band-aids and aspirin that masked chronic problems and only addressed acute problems, and sometimes even appeared to solve them temporarily, but left these underlying chronic problems untouched to fester and resurface time and again. In stark contrast, almost all of the literature in the first 150 years or so focused on what could be called the character ethic as the foundation of success. Things like integrity, humility, fidelity, temperance, courage, justice, patience, industry, simplicity, modesty, and the golden rule. Benjamin Franklin's autobiography is representative of that literature. It is basically the story of one man's effort to integrate certain principles and habits deep within his nature. The character ethic taught that there are basic principles of effective living, and that people can only experience true success and enduring happiness as they learn and integrate these principles into their basic character. But shortly after World War I, the basic view of success shifted from the character ethic to what we might call the personality ethic. Success became more a function of personality, of public image, of attitudes and behaviors, skills and techniques that lubricate the processes of human interaction. This personality ethic essentially took two paths. One was human and public relations techniques, and the other was positive mental attitude, PMA. Some of this philosophy was expressed in inspiring and sometimes valid maxims, such as, your attitude determines your altitude, or smiling wins more friends than frowning, or whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe it can achieve. Other parts of the personality approach were clearly manipulative, even deceptive, encouraging people to use techniques to get other people to like them, or to fake interest in the hobbies of others in order to get out of them what they wanted, or to use the power look, or to intimidate their way through life. Some of this literature acknowledged character as an ingredient of success, but tended to compartmentalize it, rather than recognize it as foundational and catalytic. Reference to the character ethic became mostly lip service. The basic thrust was quick fix influence techniques, power strategies, communication skills, image building ideas, and positive attitudes. This personality ethic, I began to realize, was the subconscious source of the solution Sandra and I were attempting to use with our son. As I thought more deeply about the difference between the personality and character ethics, I realized that Sandra and I had been getting social mileage out of our own children's good behavior. And in our eyes, this son simply didn't measure up. Our image of ourselves and our role as good, caring parents was even deeper than our image of our son, and perhaps influenced it. there was a lot more wrapped up in the way that we were seeing our son and handling the problem than our concern for our son's real welfare. As Sandra and I continued to talk, we became increasingly and painfully aware of the powerful influence of our own character and motives and of our perception of him. We knew that social comparison motives were out of harmony with our deeper values and could lead to conditional love and eventually to our son's lessened sense of self-worth. So we determined to focus our efforts on us, not on our techniques, but on our deepest motives and our perception of him. Instead of trying to change him, we tried to stand apart, to separate us from him, and to sense his identity, his individuality, his separateness, and his worth. Through deep thought and the exercise of faith and prayer, we began to see our son in terms of his own uniqueness. We saw within him layers and layers of potential that would be realized at his own pace and speed. We decided to relax and get out of his way and to let his own personality emerge. We saw our natural role as being to affirm, enjoy, and value him. We also consciously worked on our motives and then, independent of him, cultivated internal sources of security so that our own feelings of worth were not dependent upon our children's so-called acceptable behavior. As we loosened up our old perception of our son and developed value-based motives, literally new feelings began to emerge. We found ourselves enjoying him instead of comparing or judging him. We stopped trying to clone him on our own image or measure him against social expectations. We stopped trying to kindly, positively manipulate him into an acceptable social mold. Because we saw him as fundamentally adequate and able to cope with life himself, we stopped protecting him against the ridicule of others. But you know, he'd been nurtured on this protection, so he went through some withdrawal pains, which he expressed and which we accepted, but did not necessarily respond to. "We don't need to protect you," was the unspoken message. "You're fundamentally okay." As the weeks and months passed, he began to feel a quiet confidence and affirmed himself. He began to blossom at his own pace and speed. He became outstanding as measured by standard social criteria, academically, socially, athletically, at a rapid clip, far beyond the so-called natural developmental processes. As the years passed, he was elected to several student body leadership positions, developed into an all-state athlete, and started bringing home straight A report cards. He developed an engaging and guileless personality that has enabled him to relate in non-threatening ways to all kinds of people. Sandra and I believe that our son's socially impressive accomplishments were more a serendipitous expression of the feelings he had about himself than merely a response to social reward. This was an amazing experience for Sandra and me, and a very instructional one in dealing with our other children and in other roles as well. It brought to our awareness, on a very personal level, the vital difference between the personality ethic and the character ethic of success. The psalmist expressed our conviction well. "Search your own heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life."